This is KSFO News. It rocked us all about an hour ago, ripping open the San Andreas Fault like a huge knife slashing a carpet. The official time of the earthquake on the Berkeley seismograph, 4:30 this afternoon. The tentative Richter reading, 8.3, the same as 1906. It was centered, as far as we can tell, in nearly the same place, too, below the Pacific, just off of San Francisco. The scene is chaotic. There are thousands known dead already. Exactly how many, there is no way to know.
This didn't happen, but it could happen.
Rubble is everywhere, so are human bodies. Fire is rapidly becoming a major problem, though water supplies are reportedly in pretty good shape. Power is off just about everywhere, as is gas, as is water. It may be 24 hours or more before these services are restored to most areas. Right now, we are going to run down the entire Bay Area scene, starting with San Francisco and Dave Henderson.
Looking down on the financial district from here on Nob Hill, I see nothing but catastrophe. People, dead people and injured people are lying everywhere in the streets and sidewalks, hundreds of them caught in the streets when the quake hit. I can see several old brick buildings, or what's left of them, as they collapsed into the street. There's glass everywhere from high-rise buildings and huge chunks of concrete which broke free from parapets and cornices.
This is only a dramatization of what could happen.
So much debris on the streets, it's impossible for anyone to get through this area, especially fire trucks. Fire is a big problem now. We already have reports of large fires burning out of control in the Western Addition, the Mission, and the Marina. I can see huge clouds of smoke from each area, and I can see the Mission fire with my binoculars. It appears to be at least a whole city block.
It could happen.
We have just established shortwave communication with Warren Bogus, who made it up from Concord's Buchanan Field, one of the few Bay Area airports not badly damaged. Warren?
The Bay Area transportation scene is total chaos right now. I just flew over the Bay Bridge. It's still standing, but hundreds of cars are stranded, and it's totally unusable because the approaches at both ends have collapsed. In San Francisco, hundreds of motorists went crashing to the ground when much of the Skyway and the Embarcadero Freeway collapsed. The East Shore and Nimitz are both out of service, too, with pavement ripped up for miles into concrete and asphalt jigsaw puzzles by the force of the quake on filled ground. The MacArthur and Highway 24 are damaged, but at the moment they appear to be generally usable.
This didn't happen, but it could happen.
I'm over the Bayshore Freeway right now, and it's even worse. Much of the Candlestick Causeway has sunk and is now covered with water. Overpasses are down everywhere, with crushed cars visible under many of them, their passengers still presumably inside. Highway 280 is the same way, but more overpasses are down there because it sits right on the fault. Looking down at San Francisco International Airport, I see some runways are underwater. Others are cracked and broken like they'd been worked over with a concrete jackhammer. Oakland International is the same way, both airports totally unusable for any fixed-wing aircraft. The same goes for Alameda Naval Air Station and Hamilton Air Force Base.
It could happen.
Let's check Marin County now with Bill Hayward.
I'm atop the Waldo Grade right now, stranded here on my way home by slides more violent than any I've ever seen. The quake loosened this wet ground and threw whole hillsides of dirt down on parts of Sausalito below, taking much of Highway 101 and dozens of cars with it. Shortwave reports I've been monitoring say the Sausalito approach to the Golden Gate Bridge has been totally wiped out too, so the bridge is unusable to traffic. The bridge is still standing and it's being inspected for damage right now.
This is only a dramatization of what could happen.
Other reports I get say that whole cliffs have fallen into the ocean, carrying some houses with them along parts of the Marin coast, and that most of southern Marin is isolated, cut off by the landslides here and extensive damage to highways built on fill to the north. All the reservoirs here have held, and inspection crews are making their ways to the dams right now, but there is no power in most of the county now, no gas or water in much of it.
It could happen.
Let's go to the peninsula now, and this live report from Aaron Edwards.
Damage here, too, is extremely widespread the whole length of the peninsula. Pacifica is totally isolated by the massive ruptures of all the roads leading across the fault. There isn't any gas, no electricity, no water there on the coast side. and widespread power outages across the rest of the county are reported, too. There are reports now of several landslides carrying houses down the hills or burying them. The death toll here is expected to be in the many hundreds, even perhaps the thousands. According to authorities, the biggest problem faced now is Lower Crystal Springs Dam. It appears the quake has shaken it badly, and while it is holding for now, it's leaking substantially from cracks in its face. Disaster authorities are right now evacuating the entire area below the dam. They're trying to get all the people out in the event the dam breaks. We don't, of course, know at the moment if such a break is imminent.
This didn't happen, but it could happen.
A check of the hospitals here and in Santa Clara County indicates that several of them are very badly damaged, with 500 or more people believed killed in the collapse of a couple of the hospital buildings. And the best estimate now is that half of all the medical facilities here, including the emergency facilities, are out of commission indefinitely.
It could happen.
And over to the East Bay now, and Chet Kesselman.
The East Bay, as might be expected, came through the quake a little bit better than the rest of the Bay Area. There's still a lot of damage over here, but loss of life appears to be much, much less. A couple of major hospitals are somewhat badly damaged, but most appear to be functioning all right. The biggest problem here, as in San Mateo County, is a leaking dam. That'd be the upper San Leandro Dam, and the area right below it and below Chabot Reservoir also is being evacuated.
This is only a dramatization of what could happen.
Many East Bay emergency services are mobilizing to take care of the problems here and help in the West Bay, but with the San Mateo, Richmond, and Bay Bridges all closed and many of the freeways around here wrecked, there is no immediate way to get to the problem.
So, that is the situation as we know it right now. We are still gathering information, needless to say, and we'll stay on the air with it 24 hours a day. Our normal transmitting facilities were knocked out by the quake, as were those of every other station in the city. We are working on emergency power, and our signal is weaker than normal. We're working on that, too. Now, let's run down a specific list of buildings destroyed by the quake in San Francisco.
It could happen.
This list is from eyewitness descriptions only.
It could happen. It could happen. It could happen. It could happen.
Picture the scene. You are sitting at home or asleep in your bed, and it happens. The earthquake. It's over now, and you're lucky enough to be unhurt. You check your loved ones. They're okay, too. You check the electricity. It's off. You pick up the phone. It's dead. But you have a battery transistor radio, so you can find out how bad the situation is. You turn on the radio, and you hear nothing. Almost everywhere, up and down the dial. Now what do you do? The federal earthquake report we're looking at indicates that most communication channels will go silent with a big earthquake. In an 8.3 San Andreas shake, the report says half the telephones in the West Bay will be knocked out for an indefinite period, and the rest of the system will be so jammed with calls as to be rendered essentially useless. All radio and TV stations in the West Bay are expected to be off the air for at least 24 hours, following a big tremor, including the only radio stations with sufficient remote equipment and big enough news staffs to relay large volumes of important damage information. How about newspapers? Forget it. They'll all be forced out of their plants by damaged equipment. They could print elsewhere, but there's still the huge problem of distribution. The report doesn't reach specific conclusions about smaller-scale communications, like police and fire department shortwave radio systems, saying only that mobile units in the field are expected to survive the shock even if base stations don't. That will cause definite logistical problems. In short, as the situation now stands, you will not be able to get much information in the event of a big quake, and the authorities will not be able to gather or supply as much as they'd like to. In terms of communications, a big earthquake will throw us all back to 1906 again, with word of mouth the only effective way to communicate for the first day at least. In many ways, the problem of communication is the most critical post-earthquake problem. but it is also the most solvable, and we'll talk about that in a later report. Tomorrow, though, we'll look at an earthquake's effect on transportation. This is Jeff Scove.
It could happen.
The Bay Area transportation scene is total chaos right now. I just flew over the Bay Bridge. It's still standing, but hundreds of cars are stranded, and it's totally unusual.
What are you going to do in the aftermath of a giant earthquake? If you were contemplating jumping in your car and heading far away, or taking a plane or train to a land safer from seismic seizures, better think again. You probably won't be able to go much of anywhere for a few days at least. The federal earthquake report we've been looking at predicts some pretty startling damage to most Bay Area transportation facilities. Let's consider a repetition of the 1906 San Andreas earthquake, 8.3 on the Richter. The report predicts that much of the Bayshore Freeway from Candlestick to the airport may be underwater or broken into chunks by movements of filled land. A number of overpasses may fall down along both the Bayshore and 280 or along the Nimitz, East Shore, MacArthur, and Warren freeways in a big shake on the Hayward Fault. If the weather is wet, the report predicts massive landslides on the Waldo Gray, virtually eradicating parts of Highway 101. Bridges? The report says all the major bridges in the Bay Area were built to the highest level of earthquake safety known at the time, but they've never been tested in a big shock, so no predictions are made. But the report does say that in an 8.3 San Andreas shake, most bridges, including both the Golden Gate and Bay Bridges, will be unusable indefinitely because of severe damage to their approaches. This, whether or not the bridges survive. The report says that enough local streets will remain serviceable to allow people to get around a particular side of the bay, but only in a roundabout way with interminable delays and without crossing it. Airports would be even harder hit. An 8.3 earthquake on either fault would close San Francisco and Oakland International Airports, Alameda Naval Air Station, and Hamilton Air Force Base for at least a week. The airports on the same side of the bay as the fault would be closed much longer. This because all these facilities are built on landfill, the most unstable mass in any earthquake. Thus, relief supplies could not be flown in to any of those airports for at least a week. But they could be shipped in, as port facilities are expected to survive fairly well. A big shake is expected to take BART out of service indefinitely on the harder-hit side of the bay. In most of these cases, especially involving landfill areas, there isn't much that can be done to lessen damage in a major quake. The Division of Highways is working on the overpass problem, and that will help. And, of course, smaller earthquakes would mean much smaller problems. But the federal report makes it clear that another giant quake, 8.3 size, would turn the Bay Area transportation picture into one of chaos with massive effects on relief efforts. I'm Jeff Scove, and Monday we'll look at the nerve center of those relief efforts, hospitals.
It could happen.
A check of the hospitals here and in Santa Clara County indicates that several of them are very badly damaged, with 500 or more people believed killed in the collapse of a couple of the hospital buildings.
We depend very much on our hospitals in any major disaster, but after a really big earthquake, we might not have too many left. The Federal Earthquake Report says if an earthquake of 1906 size, 8.3 on the Richter, hit the San Andreas Fault near San Francisco, nearly half the hospital beds in the Bay Area would be wiped out, including nearly three-quarters of the beds on the west side of the bay. With a 7-point Richter shock on the San Andreas, we'd lose one-fifth of our hospital capacity. Roughly the same figures would apply for 8.3 and 7-point shakes on the Hayward Fault, but then the East Bay would be the more devastated area. Of course, hospitals can't run without trained professionals, and a big earthquake could take a frightening toll of a hospital staff. The report estimates that an 8.3 San Andreas quake would kill 1,300 people in Bay Area hospitals if it occurred in the afternoon, with another 8,200 injured. Almost 65% of those would be doctors, nurses, or other staff members. An 8.3 shock on the Hayward Fault would kill and injure even more, but 7-point shocks on either fault would cut the toll of dead and injured by 70%, and losses in a nighttime earthquake would be less than half those of a daytime one. The report also shows a big quake would cause serious damage to drug supplies around the bay, to clinical laboratories, and to some disaster hospital units. This could be a very serious problem in an 8.3 earthquake, where up to 10,000 people are expected to die, another 40,000 are expected to receive injuries requiring hospitalization. In a 7-point earthquake, the problem would be considerably less, and in an earthquake of Richter magnitude 6, no major problems are expected to arise with hospitals or other health services. Earthquakes of that size centered in critical spots could affect dams, though. I'm Jeff Skov, and we'll look at that tomorrow.
It could happen.
Disaster authorities are right now evacuating the entire area below the dam. They're trying to get all the people out in the event the dam breaks. We don't, of course, know at the moment if such a break is imminent.
Dams present possibly the greatest threat to life in any big urban earthquake. In the San Fernando shake 2 years ago, there was more tenseness and held breaths over the Van Norman Dam, which almost collapsed, than over anything else. But dam experts learned a lot from that quake, and it's being put to use to increase the safety of people in the Bay Area who live below dams. The Federal Earthquake Report, whose figures are a few months old, makes a very frightening prediction regarding dams. The report says, for purposes of planning, and I quote, 8.3 and 7 magnitude earthquakes on the Hayward Fault will cause failure of the San Pablo and the Upper San Leandro dams. Chabot Dam will be overtopped due to failure of Upper San Leandro. The report estimates that these two dam failures could mean 50 to 60,000 people killed by the wall of water released from the broken dams. Very frightening indeed. Both those dams are operated by the East Bay Municipal Utilities District. We talked to the district's general manager, John Harnett, who assured us that repairs are already underway to make the Upper San Leandro Dam safe in a 7-point Hayward shock. Harnett says the San Pablo Dam is being studied right now, and if it's found to be unsafe, it'll be strengthened right now to the same 7-point standard. That won't protect against a bigger Hayward Fault shock, but seismologists don't think a shock bigger than 7 could occur on that fault. Still, we must point out that those repairs have not been completed yet, and a big jolt on the Hayward Fault might cause breakage of the San Pablo Dam. We won't know until the study is finished. The report predicts that several other dams in the Bay Area could crack and develop leaks in a big quake, but no catastrophic breakage is expected for any of them. Tomorrow, the problem of fire. I'm Jeff Skov.
It could happen.
Fire is a big problem now. We already have reports of large fires burning out of control in the Western Addition, the Mission, and the Marina.
The Federal Earthquake Report we're looking at says, quote, one of the greatest potential dangers to be faced during the period immediately following a major earthquake is the threat of fire, which, if unchecked, could lead to a major conflagration under certain situations, end quote. Certainly, when we think of the 1906 quake, we think of the fire, too. It was responsible for 80% of the property damage in San Francisco. Over half the city burned down. The big question, of course, can it happen again? The report says no, it can't. Not like 1906, anyway. The San Francisco Fire Department is one of the best in the world, and many precautions, like street storage cisterns and two separate hydrant systems, have been taken since 1906. But the report says there will be fires if we get hit by another quake of 1906 size, up to 3 serious uncontrolled fires in the city, each taking as many as several city blocks. In addition, as many as 3 high-rise structures may go up in fires. If the quake occurs during working hours, the report says several hundred people could die in the high-rise fires. The report also alerts authorities to expect several uncontrolled fires in peninsula cities. In the event of an earthquake on the Hayward Fault, Richter magnitude 7 or larger, there may be a major fire in the Oakland-Berkeley Hills, the closest approximation to a conflagration that can be expected, the report says. Scores, hundreds of expensive homes may burn because a large Hayward Fault earthquake would sever all the water lines into the area. I want to quote something from the report that may answer those questions of why these fires might go so long uncontrolled or even unattended, beside the problems of broken hydrants, loss of water, and the like. Quote, the fire service finds itself at time of area-wide disaster in an almost impossible situation. Because it is on a ready standby basis during normal day-by-day operations, all too many portions of emergency service planning by others are in the category of the fire department can or will do that. Rescue may be cited as an example of life safety taking precedence over firefighting. Fires may go unattended while the fire forces affect rescue and search. End quote. Are we asking our fire departments to do too much? We'll look into that in a later report, but tomorrow we'll look at what other damage we can expect in an earthquake. We have been looking at some specific features of the Bay Area scene, hospitals, dams, freeways, airports, and how they might be damaged in another big earthquake. What other damage could we expect? The federal report we're examining says that although the PG&E has taken extensive measures to be prepared for an earthquake, there would still be unavoidable outages of power and gas in most parts of the West Bay after an 8.3 San Andreas Fault quake, or in the East Bay after a shake measuring 7 Richter points or more on the Hayward Fault. The report says the situation would be worse on the Hayward Fault because many major gas and electric transmission lines serving the Bay Area cross that fault, while they don't cross the San Andreas. Ditto for water. In a big Hayward Fault shake, aqueduct lines are expected to break. That will affect some areas sooner than others, depending on the capacity of local storage reservoirs. There will be local water outages, too, because of broken mains and the like. The report concludes that the worst hit areas, those on filled ground, could be without water as long as 3 weeks. For other areas, the outage would be considerably shorter. The report also says there could be major oil spills in the bay from ruptured petroleum lines or tanks at refineries. Sewage treatment plants could be disrupted and some sewers broken. But the most frightening thing we haven't considered yet isn't any of that, but rather what may happen to some of our school buildings. There is a California law on the books for 40 years which requires a high degree of earthquake bracing mandatory for all new public school buildings. Well and good. But there are still a lot of school buildings in use older than that. The latest study made by the state 2 years ago shows that one-third of all school buildings in San Francisco and Oakland are not earthquake safe. Since that report was issued, some of these buildings have been closed, others have been strengthened. But many are still unsafe. Voters in several communities have turned down bond issues that would have made all their schools earthquake safe, although a recent state proposition has made it easier for communities to pass such bond issues. As it is, the federal report predicts as many as 1,700 classroom deaths in the West Bay in an 8.3 Richter earthquake, as many as 1,150 in the East Bay in a 7-point Hayward Fault tremor. This is one area where there is a clear measure of prevention that can be taken to save the lives of these children and teachers. It all depends on whether we, the taxpayers, will pay for it. Tomorrow, we'll look at the homeless and at the economic impact of a big shake. This is Jeff Skoll. After the 1906 earthquake and fire, 225,000 San Franciscans found new living quarters in Golden Gate Park, in tents, shanties, anything they could find. They lived that way for months. The federal earthquake report we've been looking at says that won't happen again, not in such numbers anyway. The fire was responsible for most of the homeless, and the report says that a conflagration of anything like 1906 size is not expected. Still, a lot of Bay Area people would have to look somewhere else for a roof over their heads after a big quake now. As many as 34,000 in an 8.3 Richter shock on the San Andreas, plus some 40,000 injured people the damaged hospitals would have no space for. That's almost 75,000 people. In a 7-point San Andreas shock, the report figures about 28,000 homeless, long-term homeless, like a month or more, not just people who were evacuated for a few days. In an 8.3 quake on the Hayward Fault, the report predicts as many as 85,000 homeless, again, including the injured. A 7-point Hayward tremor would leave 63,000 people without homes. That's a lot of people to find shelter for. What about damage costs? It's really a case of guesswork now. The federal report cites figures estimating up to $1.25 billion damage in an 8.3 San Andreas quake for single-family dwelling units alone. A little more for a similar shake on the Hayward Fault. Multiple unit buildings, like apartments and flats, would sustain at least that much damage, too, by our educated guess. So you have a base damage figure of $2.5 billion for living quarters alone. That doesn't include damage to business buildings, public utilities, highways, and the like. The San Fernando quake 2 years ago, Richter reading 6.5, caused almost $1 billion damage. An 8.3 quake here would be almost 1,000 times more powerful, so a projected damage total in the tens of billions is easily possible. And life will be disrupted for months and months, possibly years. If dams break, which the report says is possible, not only will 50,000 or many more people die in the wall of water release, not only will scores of thousands of survivors be left homeless, scores of thousands on top of the conservative estimates that we've been using here. Not only that, but also there could be long-term disruptions of water service for survivors all over the Bay Area. And if by chance the Bay Bridge or Golden Gate Bridge should collapse, something the federal report is very vague about, it could take 3 to 4 years to build new ones, badly disrupting transportation in the interim. In summary, a big earthquake here would be a cataclysmic occurrence. That's not news. But neither is it cause to turn our backs on the problems and say there's nothing we can do. True, we don't know how to prevent earthquakes, nor can we even predict them. We may know in 10 or 20 years. We may never know. Another great earthquake will come to the Bay Area. Our history tells us that. It may come today. It may not come for 30 years or more. But if we prepare for it as best we can, as individuals and as a community, we can ease the damage it can do to our lives and to our Bay Area. On and off in the weeks to come, we're going to examine specific hazards in the Bay Area that can be made safer. And we're going to try to find out why they are not safe now.